The best prayer I've ever prayed was in the Zion Baptist Church in Joliet, Illinois. When I was there with one of my African-American friends from Wheaton College, he invited me to the church. We got there. We met everyone before the service and went up the stairway. I did not realize that I was going to be on the stage in this huge Baptist church. Everyone else there in beautiful suits, African-Americans, and here's this pasty white guy. And my friend Al said, I want you to give the offertory. Well, I went up, and my first line was, Dear Father, we thank you that every good and perfect gift is from you. And, oh, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. That's true. And I tell you, that's the best prayer I've ever prayed in my life. And so I don't know why God made me the way he made me, but I sure celebrate the richness that we have. Now, I want to say to you this evening, this morning, as we continue on, some people look at things the way they are, and they say, why? Other people look at things the way that they could be and say, why not? I want to ask you, how many of you here this morning look at things the way they are and say, why? How many of you here want to be people who say, we want to consider the way that the things that could be and say, why not? Okay, why not? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why not? This morning, thank you. Thank you, Lon. Thank you. I want to just say three things, and these are three affirmations. Where's the timer? Right here. Eight, that must mean eight levels of resistance, and so when we get it to zero, that means we're free to go, right? Okay. Three things that I want to say. First of all, thank you. And because I don't have a lot of time to elaborate, I'm going to give the affirmation, and then I'm going to say, get it, and if you've got it, that means that I can go on to the next point, okay? So, Darius, I'm trying to learn from you, okay? I don't know if this is going to work or not. But the first thing I want to say is thank you. I want to echo what others have said. This has been a gift that we have been able to give to one another, to come and share the gifts that God has given to us. It's been a gift exchange as we have seen people come from the various ministry contexts and share what they have. So first of all, thank you. Get it? Okay, we'll move on. The second thing I want to say is you inspire me. I have three children who are also in their 20s and 30s. And I wish that my Stacia and my Judson and my Jessamine could be here to also be inspired and to draw strength from you. I feel like Simeon, who said, Now let thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. There's a very real sense in which I do not feel that my time has come to go, of course, but there's that sense of gratitude of, God, it's amazing what you are doing. I've been at this for 30 years now. I've raised my own children. They're moving into leadership. And to see a generation like you, the gifts that God has given you, I say thank you. You do inspire me. Get it? And I want you to know that what was already been mentioned, and you mentioned this, Darius, that a part of our responsibility is not only to lead, but also to follow. Dynamic followership is an essential element of effective leadership. And it's important for you to continue to be encouraging and inspiring your mentors and your leaders and your pastors and your parents and your teachers. It's a reciprocal, symbiotic relationship. The third thing I would want to say is we hear you. Moses was told by the Lord when the Lord spoke to him, Tell my people I have heard their cry. And as a person who's in the leadership of the Lausanne movement, last night it was just inspiring to walk around this room and to look at all of the hopes and the dreams and the aspirations and the visions that are represented here. And this morning I said, has someone captured this? Unfortunately, all of this has been scanned and photographed and captured because we want to share this with the Lausanne leadership. Thank you so much. You inspire me. We hear you. Get it? Okay, that was the three things I wanted to say, but I've still got 5 minutes, so I want to say three more things. Is that all right? Okay. By way of affirmation, learn servanthood. The first affirmation. Jesus said, if you want to be great, and I want to ask you here this morning, and I think when he was talking to his disciples, he had hand-selected a pretty talented group of people. And at one point he said, if you want to be great, and to my own children who are people who've been gifted of God, who've been born in a context where they're given lots of opportunity, I want them to be great for the glory of God. How many of you here this morning want to be great for the glory of God? Of course you do. Jesus said, if you want to be great, learn to be the servant of all. One of my favorite titles is written by a friend of mine, Patrick Fung, who wrote a little book that the title is even better than the book itself. The title is Live to Be Forgotten, so that Christ may be remembered. First admonition is learn servanthood. Learn servanthood. Get it? Okay. Second admonition is be faithful in the little things. I'm sure that many of you, as people in your 20s and 30s, you're dreaming about what might be and where you might be someday, what kinds of opportunities may open up for you. Jesus said, if you're faithful in the little things, you'll be entrusted with the greater things. I remember one time talking to Paul Cedar about being together with some younger leaders who just seemed too ambitious, too anxious, too impatient to get on to the bigger things. We were talking about the fact that those who are rarely get to a place where God can use them in greater ways because they have not learned to be faithful in the little things. And it's amazing that the little things often prove to be really the great things. When people sometimes will remind me of something that I said or did, it's like, I don't have any recollection of that. Do you not remember the time when I was doing this or doing that? It's like, and they would say, I have no recollection of that. But I realize that God uses these little things in our life to make huge impacts in people's lives. So if you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. If you want to get onto the bigger things, be faithful in the little things. Get it? Got it. Okay. And third admonition is choose infinity. What do I mean here? Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. My mentor is a man named Ken Wendling. In my estimation, one of the most dynamic, perhaps the most productive North American missionary in all of Asia. A man of Swedish heritage, strong build, stocky a little bit, real strong arms and strong hands and fingers. And he used to put his finger in my chest and he said, Doug, remember Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And he was just drilling a little hole in my chest. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And he backed up and said, and nothing ain't much. But he also said, Jesus said, with God, nothing is impossible. He would say it's the difference between zero and infinity. And so if you want to try to do it on your own, go ahead and try. But it will not result in any fruit that remains. And so I would say, learn servanthood. Be faithful in the little things. And learn to go with God. Apart from me, you can do nothing. With God, nothing is impossible. Get it? Okay. I want to say three more things. We're cooking now. Okay. I want to just say something about opportunities for involvement with Lausanne, because many of you have asked me about that. And some of you are going to be looking for ways to explain Lausanne to your friends, your colleagues when you go back. Lausanne is a movement. And people have asked me, how can you tell if a movement is successful, if it's having an impact? I would say three things. One is the caliber of people that is attracting. People want to be a part of something that God is using in a great way. Secondly, you ask, is its influence expanding or contracting? And thirdly, you would ask, are things changing in terms of the status quo, which brought the new movement into existence to challenge that? And so I believe that God is bringing wonderful people into the movement, that the influence continues to expand, and hopefully we will see change in the years ahead. But when people say, what is Lausanne? Four C's. It is a city, is a congress, is a covenant, a continuing movement. The Lausanne Covenant really defines what the Lausanne movement is all about. I've been introduced as the chairman of the Lausanne movement. It's Lausanne, Switzerland. I've been introduced as the chairman of the Louisiana movement for world evangelization. I've been introduced as the chairman of the Lamaze movement for world evangelization. But it takes its name from Lausanne, Switzerland. Lausanne is also a spirit. Billy Graham talked about the spirit of Lausanne in his opening address in 1974. And I asked him when I went to see him before the Congress, Dr. Graham, what did you mean when you used that term, the spirit of Lausanne? Though he was 90 years old, his eyes are dim, his hearing is weak, his hands went back, a smile came across that rugged, handsome face, and he said, the spirit of Lausanne, it's the spirit of humility and fellowship and study and prayer and partnership and hope. And I thought, that's the spirit of Christ. That should be the spirit of church. It begins with humility, it ends with hope. Lausanne is a spirit of, there is a spirit of humility that ends in hope. Lausanne is also a global movement which is known by its response to God's call to the whole church to take the whole gospel to the whole world. Three ways that I trust that you could be involved. First of all, is the Cape Town commitment that you have. I trust that as you would read through that, and there are about 31 calls to action, you would say, this is where I want to get involved. Secondly, I would encourage you to be a part of the communications team. I've been impressed with how many of you are writers and journalists, publishing books, speaking, blogging, whatever it may be. Be in touch with Naomi and the communications team so that we are disseminating the vision, the hope that is being shared here. and you can talk with Naomi and the communications team about that. A third area of involvement, Sean Wu, are you here? Sean has played a very key role as a student, just finishing up at Gordon Conwell this last year, and many of you are students or you're working as young people and younger leaders in ministries across the country. Sean has really provided a type of support for Tom in his work. Tom carries an amazing load of responsibility with all that he is doing for Urbana. We're going to hear more about that in a little bit, right? But Sean has really been an assistant. We have 12 international deputy directors. If you say, I would really like to engage with the church in Africa, Asia, Latin America, the Middle East, the Caribbean, South Pacific, whatever it may be in touch with Tom, or better yet, with my assistant, Matt Nierman, so that we don't burden Tom. Tom could tell you a lot about it, but if you'd like to be involved with one of those people, that would be great. Those are opportunities for engagement. One thing that I think would be a wonderful area for those of you who are younger leaders is we're developing something called the Lausanne Global Analysis. And this is going to bring together some of the best minds in the world to address the biggest challenges in the world so that in an era when we have way too much information without enough analysis and insight, we can read the news and get this Lausanne Global Analysis that brings significance, interpretation, what do these things mean? Okay, my time is up, and so I'm going to give the microphone back in just a moment. But I trust that 100 years from now, when historians are writing the history, some of them will say, what happened? You look at some of the magazine covers, some of the articles that were being published in the early 21st century, there was so much pessimism, there was talk about American decline, there was talk about disintegration. What happened? And as they read it, they will say there were a group of people who met together, and they looked at things the way that they could be, and they said, why not? And in a time when families were disintegrating, they would say it seemed as if there was a moral renaissance in the culture. And then it seemed as if you looked at the painting and the music and the art and the architecture, it seemed as if there were images of beauty and hope. And then as you look at the political system, it seemed as if it began to work again and people thought about the common good. And then as you thought about the economic system, it's as though the economy was revitalized and people had jobs and people shared more evenly. There was a sense of justice. Some people look at things the way they are and ask why. Other people look at things the way that they could be and ask why not. And so I trust that we will be people who pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As Ezekiel looked at the landscape at the beginning of his century, as he was a younger leader, God gave him a vision, and his response is, O Lord, nothing is too difficult for thee. So I want to thank you for your presence, for your commitment. I want to tell you that you inspire me, and I want to encourage you to stick together. Because as you are united with one another, Jesus said, Oh, Father, just as you and I are one, may they also be one so that the world may believe. Authentic community, unity, is a prerequisite to prophetic witness in the world. Thank you. God bless you. I eagerly await what God has in store for you and how he is going to use you for the good of the world, for the benefit of the small children who are part of your families, and for those who are yet unborn. They will say, thank God they had the vision and the will. They challenged the status quo, and they made a difference for him. God bless you.